Dear sisters, we continue our fellowship tonight. We will get into lessons for sisters further. In the previous conference, we already started to look at those lessons. And we covered first three lessons. Today and tomorrow, we'll get into three more lessons. And these lessons, they might seem to you something familiar. But please don't have the concept that I know it all and I heard it all. When I was preparing for these lessons, I was struck by this vision that they contain. Perhaps we heard these things, but when we touch the depth of the ministry, then the ministry has one very important trait. It doesn't touch only our mind, but our spirit. And when the Lord touches our spirit, it changes our person. That's why the ministry in the church life has such a force. When we touch any Christian teaching, it always aims the mind of the person. But the ministry in the Lord's recovery is focused on spirit of man. Sisters, I'll tell you now a very important truth. Your very person, your real person is not your soul. Your true person is your spirit. But the problem is that we are used to live in our soul. On the earth, there are 7 billion people. And each person lives because of their soul. But when God created man, He didn't create him in such a way. God created man so that spirit would be his real person. The problem is that when man fell, he became soul. Man today lives only by their soul. He thinks in his soul, he takes decisions in his soul, he feels in his soul. And in this sense, man is absolutely independent from God. But when man lives such a life, God can do nothing for his purpose. That's why in his salvation, before all, he touches our spirit. When we believed into the Lord, he made our spirit life. In Romans 8, it says that our spirit is life. Dear saints, our spirit today is the source of the divine life. But this is not all. Then in third chapter of Ephesians, Apostle Paul says that we can be strengthened into our inner man. You may ask why Paul didn't say about our spirit. Why? He's talking about inner man. He wants to show us that we don't have just spirit as an organ. In our inner being, there is a new man. It is an inner man. An inner man is our spirit as a head, and our soul as the organ that follows the spirit. Today we will speak about very deep things. And if we try to understand it all only with our mind, with our soul, maybe you will enrich your intellect. But the question is not in this. The question is how much this truth can strengthen your inner man. At what extent Christ can become our person. And today we'll see that there is difference between dependent life and independent. 7 billion of people, they live independent life. They perfectly can think, feel, and make decisions. They live as they want. But the Lord is seeking not for such people. He seeks for people who will take His as their true person. And the Bible shows us in a very interesting type. He shows us the type of man and woman, a woman. When you see a man and a woman, you might have one association. But when Bible speaks about man and woman, it shows man as a head and woman as a dependent being. You know, when we talk about such things today in this society nowadays, it's not received positively. Women don't like to hear that they are dependent. They desire to be independent. They desire to be equal to men. Sometimes I see videos and I see women who declares that they're not just not worse than men, that they're actually better. I used to serve at the training in Anaheim, and there was one sister at the training. And she came and she said, I want to ask a question. And she says, why I need to be submit subject to brothers? I answered, I don't understand the question. What does it mean, why? But she says, but I see that I'm smarter than them. I'm more capable. Why should I be subject to men? And then I freezed. couldn't answer anything. But I said, but this is what Bible tells us. But she just couldn't receive it. In her head, it wasn't clear why women need to be subject to men. Sisters, that's why today when we speak about those things, we are risking to cause some unpleasant reaction. But we are forced to talk what the Bible talks. The Bible shows woman as dependent being. The Bible shows that woman came out of man. But today in the fourth lesson we will see. But this is that this is not it's not putting her in a low position. It's not humiliation. Because it is a type, when woman is dependent on man, it's a type that man should depend on God. It's a symbol. Dear sisters, to be a woman is just a picture what man should be, how man should be. Woman's life is the picture of a life that depends on God. Both men and women should live dependent life. Me and you, we are created not to live separately from God. We are created to be dependent on God. When you look at the very beginning of the Bible, you see the full picture of God's purpose. Why man was created? Tell me, what for man was created? To live a beautiful life? That's it. Let's read Genesis 1:26. You'll see the purpose for which God created man. Let's read first in Polish and then in Russian. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Dear sister, just look at this verse. In this verse, there are a few crucial words. The very first that you should see is a word image. Sisters, we are created not as all other creatures. All beings they are created by their own likeness. They all exist by their own image. But man, was created according to God's image. When you see man, you see what is like God, what God is like. An image doesn't just refer to outward image, but also inward being. You know why people love? Because God loves. Why people have wisdom? Because God is full of wisdom. Why people have the idea of beauty? Because God has. Man is like a photography of God. When you look at man, you can see what God is like. But this is not the only reason why man was created. The second goal is for men to have dominion. That means that on the earth, there are some creatures over which the dominion needs to be exercised. And there are different animals are listed. Tell me, in today's condition, can man have dominion over every creature? Yesterday I was reading the news in certain zoo. People came to take care of snakes, and one of the snake beat one man and he died. Does it convey that this man was having dominion over snakes? In fallen condition, man cannot have dominion over creatures. But in what way, how people can have dominion? Only if he has divine life. Only if God is his real person. Look at how man fell. When man fell, we see in Genesis 3 how it's described. In this chapter, we see the devil comes and deceives man. Why man fell? Because he started to think and ponder over individually. To whom devil came? He came to a woman. He came to a creature who was meant to be dependent. She needed just to say, "Adam, there's like a snake talking to me. Adam, come talk to her, to it." And what Adam should do? Adam needed to say, "God, there's a snake talking to us. Tell us what to do." You're laughing, but this is the picture of dependent life. Man fell because he started to live independently. the most dreading result of the fall is that man became independent. Yes, man received in himself sinful nature. He took Satan's life in him. But look at the fourth chapter. God still could talk to Cain. Even after he killed his brother, and he asked him not to go away from his face. But sinful nature led him astray, completely far from God. Dear saints, when we get saved, when we receive divine life and the forgiveness of sins, this alone does not solve all the problems in the world. It solves only our problem. Our problem is that we are sinful and dead. And God forgives our sins and gives us divine life. But tell me, where is the solution for God's problem? But what is his issue? What is his problem? His desire to have image and dominion. If there is no image, no dominion, God is not pleased. He's not satisfied. We think, oh, we are saved. Our problems are solved. We are not in sin anymore. We're not dead anymore. But do we live expressing his image? Do we live completing his dominion with him? Sisters, if we live independent life, then we don't have image, we don't have dominion. Image and dominion are expressed only as a result when we take the Lord as our person. That's why the life of woman in the Bible has such a crucial meaning. Woman's life in the Bible is a type of how man should be. Man, even male, needs to live a dependent life. So, woman's life is only a type of how man should live. Sisters, if you will see this, then you will appreciate your position. Because God doesn't want us to function independently from him. When we function being dependent on him, then God can get image and dominion. Sisters, you know, many sisters, they pity that they cannot publicly function. Just recently in America, the new president was chosen. And the next day after his inauguration, he went to a temple. And there, they entered big temple, and there was some preaching. And I looked at the news and I was so shocked that the preaching was given by a woman. She was a defender of the rights of women. And I was looking at it and I was like, where do we live? Like, what is happening? The Bible tells us clearly that women should not function like this in the church. Sisters they can prophesy and pray, but they cannot teach. They cannot be leading. They cannot be leading brothers. But sisters might have this thought, why can't I function like this? Because, sisters, this is a picture of dependent life. If a brother is functioning, being in oneness and dependent with God, on God, if he functions being in oneness with God, but then he also lives the life of woman. But if a brother is functioning independent from God, if he speaks and ministers not being dependent on God, then he is a picture of this fallen, independent life. And this is a picture of a man's fallen life. In the Bible, men and women, they represent different pictures. In the Bible, man is a symbol of independent life. And a woman is a picture of dependent life. But it's only a type. And today, sisters, you're called to be sisters, to fulfill the picture of dependent life. If a sister wants to function, to be on spot, then it means that she lives independent life. Sisters are called to magnify the example, the pattern of dependence. Now we'll look into outline, and in this outline you will see very important points. And in this outline you see before everything that Exodus reveals, Exodus shows us the picture of a woman's life. When you look at Exodus, you see that many things there, they were actually set up by sisters. Do you know how Genesis ends? In Genesis, you see the picture of God called ones. In Genesis, you see separately God's called people. And these people, and they show us the picture of spiritual maturity. But you don't see the corporate aspect. The church is not there, and the corporate image is not there. And the dependent life is showed in Exodus. People of Israel came to Egypt and they remained in Egypt. And Joseph, who were the prince, he died in Egypt. That's how Genesis ends. But how Exodus starts? In Exodus, Exodus starts with us knowing that people of Israel got increased in number in Egypt. You see the corporate nation, but the nation is living in captivity. They weren't Egyptians, they were a God-chosen race. But they ended up in captivity under Pharaoh. And moreover, Pharaoh intended to kill them, all the Hebrews. And look, how he decides to do this. He decided to kill boys. He decided to kill a strong life that can minister God. And he decided to leave only women that they would get spread and mixed with his people. And look, God starts to use in this moment woman's life. He starts to use women to save the people of Israel. And then first you see this two women who midwives who refuse to kill little boys. And then you know that Moses' mother, she gave birth and she didn't give her infant to be killed. She hides him. And then she works a way for him to end up in Pharaoh's house. But look at who is helping to grow, to raise him. His sister, Miriam. Sisters, do you see that God's desire can be fulfilled only by strong life? But strong life can be expressed only through dependent life. If these women were not there, that the Savior wouldn't come up. To prepare the Savior, the woman's life was needed. Woman's life, dependent life, produced the completion of the God's purpose. You should see this picture in Exodus. If you see with eyes of God's economy, you will see that all people in Exodus, there actually are picture of woman's life. Moses was the most strong and smart person, wise person of this life. But imagine what a life he lived. He was fully dependent on God. He fulfilled everything God asked. Moreover, when there was rebellion against him, when some were against him, he would never defend himself. He always gave thanks to the Lord, to God. He was the most meek from all men. You can say, yes, Joseph was a man, but he represents a female life. He lived a dependent life. From all people of Israel, he was the only one whom God could entrust his purpose. He was the only who fully was dependent on God. Yes, he was a man, but in him you see the expression of a female dependent life. Let's look at the outline. First, Roman numeral. Let's read together. The book of Exodus reveals the kind of people God can use in his economy for the fulfillment of his purpose. I will read 8. God's intention, as seen in this book, is to have a people to build him a dwelling place on earth. Thus, at the end of Exodus, the tabernacle is erected to be God's dwelling place. And B. Furthermore, for the fulfillment of God's purpose, there is also the need for an army to fight for God's interests on earth. If the children of Israel were to enjoy the good land and to fulfill God's purpose of building a temple as God's testimony on earth, they had to fight to deliver the land from the usurping hand of the enemy. Do you know how to describe points A and B? You can describe it with 2 words. First is image, and B is dominion. Sisters, image and dominion, you can see in the whole Bible from the beginning to the end. God's house, God's tabernacle, God's temple. Those are God's image, the expression of God. But to build his image, you need to overcome the enemy. That's why there is a need of dominion. Sisters, image and dominion, those two things you can see in the Bible from the beginning to the end. And Exodus is a perfect picture, wonderful picture. And see, it says, therefore, to be useful to God is related to building up his dwelling place and to fighting for his interests on earth. You see the dwelling place and the fight, image and dominion. And then D, the life useful to God in these matters is the female life. The underlying theme of Exodus 1-2 is that God needs a certain kind of life, both to preserve his people and to prepare a savior to deliver them from bondage. Both the preservation of the people and the preparation of the savior were accomplished only through female life. Don't take this literally. I urge you again. We don't talk who is man, who is woman, but we are talking about God's purpose. For the accomplishment of God's purpose, there is a need of dependent life. Even Moses, as savior, was a man who lived dependent life. And let's read together too, first in Polish. The second Roman numeral. God is the head of Christ. Christ under the headship of God is the head of every man. And man under the headship of Christ is the head of the woman. Here you see the most important hierarchy in the universe. It says that the head of everything is God. But God cannot be the head if no one is subject to him. And first who is subject to him is Christ. God is the head of Christ. But look how it's written here. It says, Christ under the headship of God is the head of every man. Wow. Because Christ is ultimately under the headship of God. In being under headship of God, he can be the head of men. If Christ wouldn't be under the headship of God, he couldn't be the head of every man. The possibility to be the head flows out of being under the headship. Look further. A man under the headship of Christ is the head of the woman. Sisters, often you see families where male, he's demanding to be the head. He insists that he is the head, but there is only one no. The head can only be the one who's under headship. Today in the world, there are so many men who insist that they are head. Millions of men, they declare that they are the head. But they themselves don't know the headship. They live independent life. When man starts to live independent life, he cannot be in this hierarchy. Sisters, woman is a type of dependent life. And in this sense, man who lives under the headship of Christ also lives woman's life. He's not a woman, but he lives a life of dependency. Look at the third Roman numeral. Man, typifying Christ, signifies the independent life. In the Bible, man, fallen man, is the picture of independency. So, man who wants to be the head but who doesn't know Christ, he cannot be the head. That means that in the Bible, man should show us life that Christ lived. Christ is the head, so he doesn't need to be subject to man. That's why he is a type of independent life. But look at the fourth woman, typifying man, signifies the dependent life. Sisters, you're a type of this dependent life. You know, we often say that at the wedding, women should veil their head. That's very normal when you attend the wedding and a man doesn't have anything on his head and a woman has a veil. This shows the picture that in family there should be only one head. But then, when the wedding is over, what happens? A woman comes home and she takes the veil off. Put it on man. Well, often she just becomes the second head. Further, you will see why in the world there are so many problems. Why so many divorces? Because all live independent life. Men live independent life. Man's life. And then females also live independent life, male life. When there is no headship and no submission, there is no order. Sisters, you need to be first picture of submission, for, of humble. And Apostle Paul says in 1 Peter, it says that you can gain your husbands without words, because your beauty is meekness, because it shows how men should be before God. It doesn't humiliate sisters. Sisters, not your humiliation. It's a picture of how man should be. And fifth, I want to read. Man is to be a real female living a life dependent on God. Sisters, if there will not be such people on the earth, there will not be image nor dominion. Image and dominion satisfy God's desire. It's not the desire of man. Our need is satisfied because of forgiveness of sin and divine life. And our problems are solved because of this. But who will live for the sake of God's purpose? Who in their heart have this desire? And look at the sixth. Man's independence of God is rebellion. The moment we become independent, we become rebellious against God. Because the male life is independent and rebellious, God cannot use it for the accomplishment of His purpose. Sisters, don't take it literally and physically. When the devil came to tempt Eve, she was living male independent life. She didn't want to be subject to man or God. She made her decision on her own and fell. It doesn't say that women are worse than men, but it just shows that we are called to live dependent life, but we do live independently. We should live dependent life, but we live independently. And in the moment when we live independent life, God cannot use us for His purpose. In the moment when we are independent, we are useless for His purpose. Look at 7th. If a woman lives an independent life, she becomes a real male. You know, today in the world, there is idea. Like, there is no, no matter are you a man or woman, you can choose your sex. I saw many people who changes their gender, and they declare, "Oh, I was a woman and now I'm a male," or "I was a man and now I'm a woman." Dear sisters, this is a rebellion against God. God created us in a certain way, and this is His order. Each one of us is created in a way to have a portion in His purpose. A brother should learn how to live a female life. That means I need to learn to live under headship of God, of Christ. And even more sisters need to learn to live such a life. If a sister starts to live as a male, it's very bad. It goes against God's arrangement. If we live independent life, it shatters God's arrangement. Look at A. Today, a great amount of women have become males. This is the main reason for many separations and divorces. I don't know what is the percentage of divorces in Poland. Before, I used to read that percentage in America was 50% divorces. And recently I read in Russia, the statistic is just shocking. You know what the percentage is? 90%. That means from 10 marriages, 9 will be over. when I read this, I understand that unbelievers, they have almost no chance. Even believers, if they don't take Christ as their person, there are no chances. Dear sisters, if we want to be a picture of God's purpose, God's economy, we need to learn the lesson that only dependent life can fulfill His purpose. If we live independent male life, this is the way of destruction. Sisters, when you got married, you had a veil on your head. This is a picture that a woman should take man as her head. You might say, well, my husband is not subject to Christ, so I can also not be subject. But this doesn't have any matter. Even if your husband is not subject to Christ, it doesn't freeze you from the responsibility to be subject. This is a picture how a sister should be. Let's look at 8. Only the real female life is useful to God. Sisters, understand that in the whole Bible, God can only use female life. It doesn't mean He only uses women, but all men whom He used, they lived such a quote-unquote woman's life. Moses was a person who lived a female life. Paul was a person who lived a female life. A says, in the Bible, God's people are likened to a female. Imagine when God looks at His people, He sees a woman. It's easy to understand for you because you are a woman, but for us it's more complicated because we are men. But in God's eyes, we are the same females as you are. When He will come back, can you imagine how He will come back? He will come back as a as groom. And we will be as virgins coming out to meet our bridegroom. And of course, you can say, oh, yeah, it's easy to understand for me. I am a woman. But for me to go out as a virgin, it's not so simple. But in His eyes, all of us are female. We are His bright. And in first it says, God dealt with Israel as His spouse. When you read what God says about Israel, I cannot comprehend it. When He led them out of Egypt, remember, for 40 years they were in wilderness, in rebellion against Him. But do you know how God describes this time? He said, we left and it was the time of love. I was enjoying. Those people who left Egypt, they had no idea that God is looking at them as their bride. But this shows you his heart. And second point says, in the New Testament, the believers in Christ are considered virgins. Third, in Ephesians 5:25, we see that Christ loves the church as his counterpart, his wife. Christ will marry the New Jerusalem as his bride in the millennium. For eternity, the New Jerusalem will be the wife of God. I think if the Bible spoke that God is our friend, it would be so clear. Yeah, God is my friend. I can talk to him. But Bible tells us that God looks at us as at his bride. And when he comes back in Revelation 19, it says he will come back and he will have the wedding feast, because we will not be guests there. We'll be the bride. The bride has made herself ready. Dear sisters, just have this thought that God is looking for his bride. He searched for the one who will love him and will be subject to him. B. Whatever we are, sisters or brothers, we all need to be females and live by the only life that is useful to God. Let's read some points. 1 A, B, C, D, 2 A, B, C. Let's alternate Polish and Russian. First in Polish. In order to be females, we need to depend on the Lord. The tree of life in Genesis 2 signifies dependence, and the tree of knowledge signifies independence. Life always makes us dependent, whereas knowledge always makes us independent. God desires that we choose life instead of knowledge. This means that he wants us to choose dependence rather than independence. No matter how long we have been with the Lord, we still must depend upon him for life today. We cannot graduate from eating, drinking, and breathing. With life, there is no graduation. God's strategy is to put us in a position where we must depend upon him. This is the kind of life God can use for the fulfillment of his purpose. If we all have a healthy fear of independence, there will be no problems in the church life. All problems in the church life, in married life and among the saints, come from one source, and that source is independence. The reason the church throughout the years has been torn down instead of built up is that the so-called builders have been too independent. They have been males instead of females. The crucial point is that it is not a matter of how much we can do, but of how much we depend upon the Lord. Dear sisters, when you see those points, you see that the main thought, that there are two principles in the universe. First one is dependence, and the second principle is the principle of independence. First is the principle of the tree of life, and the second is the principle of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God is looking for people who will follow first principle. Sisters, in you you have life. In you, inwardly you have new person. You need to learn to live by this life and to take him as your person. That what means to live a dependent life. And then see, I'll read. It is crucial that we learn of the Lord that only the female life is useful to him. Dear sister, only dependent life is useful for God. Independent life is not needed for God. Look at the first one. The independent life lives not only worldly people. Many Christians also live a life that is independent of God. And look further. That's why most of Christians became useless for God. Sisters, God forgives our sins and gives us life. It solves our problem. But who will solve the problem of God? Who will take care of his purpose? Who will live dependent life? Who will fulfill his purpose? For this, you need to learn to live a dependent life. And further, you see the picture of Moses. Moses was trained to live a female life. We don't think of Moses as of a female. Of course, he was man. But he lived independent life, or dependent life. Moses honored God as the unique initiator. He was called by God to ascend the mountain where God revealed to him what was on his heart and then charged him to build the tabernacle according to the pattern shown him on the mountain. If we want to perfect others in a proper way and build up the church, we need such a female life. You know, when Moses received the revelation, he had the ability to do everything according to this vision. In Poland, there are many temples. And when you go to different cities, you see different temples. And as to my knowledge, there are no two temples that are the same. They're all different. And people treasure them as something unique. People love to build something unique. Imagine if same would be with Moses. God showed him a picture of a tabernacle. And he would say, but I like pink. And I don't see pink in the tabernacle. I want one wall to be pink. And the other wall, I want to draw camels. I like camels. What would be with God's purpose? What would be with God's tabernacle? In the Bible, several times one phrase is repeated. Look, make everything accurately as I described. When you see that tabernacle, you know that this is a picture of what there is in the heavens. The Bible tells clearly that the tabernacle on the earth is just a reflection of what is on the heaven. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood and the day of It was a picture of how Christ went into Holy of Holies. If there wouldn't be a tabernacle, we wouldn't know what happens on the heaven. Who could fully follow this pattern? Only the one who fully lives a dependent life. Only one who takes God as his only person. This is a wonderful picture. And Paul was such a person. When you read New Testament, you don't see Paul there. Paul is writing, but those are God's words. Because Paul became absolutely transparent. Through him, you see God speaking. You see God's person. You see God's heart. And you don't see Paul there. Paul lived truly a dependent life. And 3a. Moreover, all the warriors were living a female life of dependence on God. A. If you have not learned to be a female, you will not be able to fight for the kingdom of God. God uses only female warriors. This means that if you are living an independent male life, you are useless as far as the spiritual warfare is concerned. There can be only one commander in a battle, in a warfare. When there is a strict direction, there could be a kingdom. And let's read the last one together. May we all see that God can use us only if we are females depending on Him at all times and for all times. Sisters, you are created as women. You were created to be a picture of dependent life. If you first will learn to live this kind of life, the church life will have a proper order, a proper arrangement. May the Lord bless the church life, that all we, women and female, sisters and brothers, would learn to live such a dependent life. And also a few minutes, I want to talk with you. We have excerpts here. We'll have two messages today, and after them, you'll have time in the groups, and we will ask you to read those excerpts that you have in the outline and to fellowship about them. But very interesting, between lesson number 4 and 5, there is a certain portion. In Russian, it's a 16 page, and it's 13 in English, serving by praying. And this portion is not related to lesson 4, it's a separate excerpt. And there you see a very important burden. And you may ask, what is the most important function of sisters? And here you see that it is to pray. When we pray, we are releasing the action of God. When we pray, we allow God to do something. When you see a situation, you have a temptation to do something. If a brother stands up and he speaks badly, you have this desire to come up and tell him, to rebuke him. If you see in church there is a family with a problem, then our first desire is to go and teach them to live a family life. This is a rebellion against God. We need to learn to pray before all. When we pray, then we allow God to enter the situation. And He can do something. And you know what happens? Then all the glory is the Lord's. And we don't get any glory. We all want to have some glory to ourselves. We all want everyone to to love us and to admire us. But God doesn't want to help us in such a work. But when we pray, we allow God, to do something. No one knows about it. No one knows that we are praying. And then God acts, and we don't get any glory. Many people cannot live like this. But what I get, dear sisters, this is a picture how
sisters should function. When sisters pray, they don't get any glory to themselves, but they release the act of God, action, and he can act. He receives a possibility to change people's hearts. You know, many years before I started to serve at the Moscow's training, and we had many sisters where I serve, which were independent. And many of them didn't have any hope even or chance to get married, because the years were passing by and they just had no chance. And then I told brothers, let's gather every week and pray for those sisters. And no one knew that we were praying. And we were praying like this for many years. And with time, many of those sisters got married. And perhaps they never knew that we were praying for them. But we just allowed God to act. And you know, sisters, actually, I say this very rarely, but I tell this because this is my experience. Just few of us, few brothers, were gathering to pray. No one knew. No one heard this. We didn't get any gratitude or praise, but we saw how Lord had the ability to act. But please, just don't come to me and don't ask me to pray for you for your marriage. I was just describing my experience of the hidden prayer. I don't have a magical word that will solve all your problems. But I just want to say that this is a real experience in my life. When we pray, we deprive ourselves from any praise or any glory. All the glory is remained for the Lord. May the Lord bless you to live such a life. When you gather together in groups, please read this passage also.